welcome you to Doxodeo Hatfield, a multi-ethnic family on mission, passionate about Jesus, passionate about community, and passionate about serving the city of Tshwane.
We're going to give each other just a moment to take out the serviettes, napkins, or something like this, just to take the tears off, so that we can focus on where we are in our service. So Manalisi is saying to me, my boy, you need to get moving. So we've got a few minutes. There's a next service coming a bit later. And we are in our series, Divine Inclusion. Now, those are big Christianese words. So for if you are new to the faith or new to this church or just somebody invited you to be here today and that doesn't make sense at all, you're in a good space. So, you know, don't worry about it. We are, as a family in Doxodeo, 38 odd churches across the globe, we are preaching the same thing because that same thing is massively important. Our year theme is His Glory, My Story. So if He is as glorious as we think He is, we are included in His glory. My story is included in His glory. I'm not just here by accident. I'm here by a purposed will of the Almighty God. If you are sitting here and you're saying, I'm here by accident, I actually should not have been here. I want to say to you, you need to wake up because God has got a purpose for your life. He's got a reason for you to be here. And if you figure out His glory and how you are connected, your story is connected to His glory, then you will figure out, my man, I have a purpose here. I want to live. I want to make a difference. I want to have His kingdom come to earth. I'm already preaching and I'm only starting. Okay. So, divine inclusion. This concept of I am in Christ. Now, who's been confused with that term? How can you be in Christ? Okay, I've been confused for a very long time. I've been in this church, not this church, but in Doxodeo for some 25 years. And from the very first time that I stepped into this church, this verse was something that the founder, Alan Platt, shared with us. And for the life of me, I didn't get it. I couldn't understand it. And I want to share that with you and give you the opportunity, just look at it from a new perspective. Romans 5:17-19, we're using the book of Romans to talk about what it means to be in Christ, to be in this divine inclusion. Romans 5:17-19. So if by one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man. So Adam came, original sin, he trespassed, he sinned. And if by that one man, by Adam, death reigned through that one man over everybody, how much more will those who receive the overflow of grace and the gift of righteousness, and listen to this term, reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. So there's a juxtaposition here. There's Adam, sin, original sin. There is Jesus, life, death, resurrection, obedience. And Adam's sin was attributed to everybody. And Jesus' resurrection is attributed to everybody that chooses Him. Okay, and we are called to reign in life. Now, the word that's used here, reign, means to reign as a king. It means that I put on the crown that is the glory of God, and I have the mandate to reign as a king. As a family, we've had the privilege to have a young man. He's a guy from the Netherlands. We've got an adventure university, and he was like a student in our adventure university for the past 3 months. He was in our house, and he was exposed to Christianity like full throttle. Like, do you want to come to church? Yes, what's that? Okay, have you not been to church? No, I don't know what that is. Oh, please come. So he's been here a few times. And when we started talking to him, and when our son Miku, he's the youngest one, when he had the opportunity to just to share his story, share his faith with him, and we said to him, you can reign as a king if you accept Jesus into your life. So he goes, that cannot be legal. It's impossible. How is it possible that if you say, Jesus, I accept you into my life, that you are a king? Not possible. The scripture says it is possible. He says you reign as a king, not as a usurper, not as somebody that takes something illegally. Why is it legal? Let's go on. So then, as through one trespass, there is condemnation for everybody, so also through one righteous act, there is justification leading to life for everyone. Okay, this is very confusing. Because what this is saying is, little Luke, that he's sleeping there, born on the 16th of April, because of Adam's sin, as little Luke is lying there, he is condemned through the sin of Adam. And now you say, no, that is not possible. Okay, so this is what this says. The sin of Adam is attributed to everybody. And then Jesus comes, and Jesus comes and he dies. He takes that penalty on him. He raises from the dead. And now that sin is no more if you accept God. So it works like this. Bosov, I haven't done this. I was an investment banker, but it's not. I'm not using, I robbed a bank. So I didn't rob a bank. It's just an example. So Bosov robs a bank. Bosov gets caught. It's possible in South Africa that if you rob a bank, you're going to get caught. Not probable, but possible. Okay. So now I get caught. Then it is also slightly possible that you will be taken to court. Now I'm in court. And then if I don't steal the dossier or do something silly, I now have to face the penalty. So let's say I'm there. I'm now facing penalty. Blader, my wife, walks into the room and she says to the judge, please stop. I will take whatever penalty you are going to give Bosov. What is the judge going to say? No way. It is Mother's Day. Okay, so it's not going to, it's not, that was a dad joke. I'm going to stop. Okay. So he's going to say, no way. Why? Because how can somebody pay for a penalty that is not theirs to pay? Okay, this is how it works. Please just, this is very difficult for me to understand, difficult to explain, but see if you can get this. That is not legal. That transaction of Blader stepping into taking my penalty is not legal. But what is legal is if somebody is willing to pay the penalty for a guilt that I have because of what somebody else did. And you go, okay, let's do that again. It is legal for Jesus to pay the price, to take the penalty for a guilt that I have because of Adam. It is legal. It is fair. And for that reason, we are in a position where we can say, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you, that you are the one that takes my sin. Okay, let me do this in pictures, just quickly. If you wouldn't mind just putting that first picture up on the screen. So, I, because of Adam, I am in like darkness. Jesus is the bridge that God said, I'm not going to leave you in darkness. I am a gracious God. I love you to absolute bits. I love you more than an earthly mother or father could ever love you. And for that reason, I didn't leave you in darkness. I created this bridge that is Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And because Jesus died and because he raised from the dead, he is the one that creates the ability for me to now walk into the presence of the Father, into the light. Okay. Sound right? And here's the thing of what it means. Tyke spoke about in the first week of this series about what it means to be in Christ. Now, position yourself not behind this person as you are here. Position yourself standing in the Father's shoes, looking at you because of Jesus Christ. You saying, God, I know that I'm sinful, not because only of what I've done, but because of Adam. And I accept that Jesus is the only way. He's the only bridge. There ain't no other bridge. There's the only bridge towards the Father. And now the Father stands there and he looks at me. If you give me the next slide, please. And this is how he sees you. He sees you in the light of his Son. He doesn't see sin in you. He doesn't see your past. He doesn't see the bad things that you have done. He doesn't see the things that are of the darkness. He only sees you by the light of his Son. Scripture says, and the light has come to the world, and the light is Jesus Christ. What it means to be in Christ, if you accept Christ into your heart, is that the Father looks at you, and the only thing that he sees is the beauty and the purity and the awesomeness of Jesus Christ reflecting on you and through you. That is the coolest thing ever. Hey? That is what it means to be in Christ. And then last week, Joe said, he spoke to us about, okay, but if that is true, why do we, next picture please, why do we turn our backs so many times on the light? And why do we turn back to our old way of doing things? Why, oh, why do we then go back to the sin and so on? And Joe shared this scripture with us. He said, Romans 6:6, we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ. And then he said, underline the next two words. And he said, so that sin might lose its power in our lives. And he said, so that, so why do we turn around? This being in Christ and the impact on our lives and the way that we deal with our sinful nature, it's not automatic. You need to activate your mind. Scripture says, it says, consider yourself dead to sin. So your mind needs to say, I am not that person anymore. And then scripture goes further and it says, do not give in to sinful desires. Your actions need to turn your body back to who God is and how he wants to you to live. So for example, if you have a problem with alcohol, then you buy active. You need to do something. You buy 0% alcohol and you take the ridicule from your friends. 0% alcohol, 0% brain, 0% happiness. No, 0% giving over to the desires of my sinful flesh. If I have a problem with my sexual purity, I do not stay over at my girlfriend or my boyfriend's house for that evening and say, no, you know, Pretoria's streets are so, it's like very dangerous. I can't sleep. I can't drive that late at night. Then leave earlier. That is what it means to take the responsibility and actively seek out and not giving in to the desires of my heart. Simple examples. Does it make sense? Okay, that was the introduction. Let's go. So the next part of what we're going to talk about is this question. What is the relevance of the Holy Spirit in being included in a divine way? What is the relevance of the Holy Spirit in my inclusion? And today we're going to look at Romans 8. I love Romans 8. You can preach for a year on Romans 8. I've got 12 more minutes, so we're gonna do that quite quickly. Romans 8, 9 to 11. What is the role, the relevance of the Holy Spirit in my divine inclusion? I've used the New King James Version on the screen here. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. You know, there's people that says, that's very Afrikaans. Sorry, Bos of Grobler, my Afrikaans is shining through. There are people that say that the Holy Spirit was for like those years. The Holy Spirit was used to raise people, Jesus from the dead. Then it was raised to build the church. And then the Holy Spirit could rest, go back to heaven, do whatever. And we don't need the Holy Spirit at the moment. And here it says, anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Okay, so that argument goes out the window. And here, listen to this. And if Christ is in you, okay, but we've just said, I am in Christ. Okay, how does this thing work? Is it now reverse psychology? Now Christ is in me. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. I am in Christ. It means that God stands. If I've come over the bridge of Jesus' life, God stands and he looks at me and he just sees the brightness and the beauty of Jesus in and through me. I'm in Christ. Now it says, if that is true, Christ is in me. Okay. What does the word Christ mean? Who knows? What does the word Christ mean? It was not Jesus' surname. Okay. It's not Jesus Christ. Not his surname. I know it wasn't Grobler. I don't know what it was, but Jesus Christ, what does it mean? It means the anointed one. Christ, Christos, means anointed. And then in Acts, it says that Jesus, Acts 10:38, he says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. So if Christ means to be anointed, and in those days, it wasn't, you know, like we do in this church, not to make a mess because the team needs to clean up after. We don't take a little thing and we put a little, you know, oil on your hands or feet or head. It means to be smeared with oil for a purpose. And Jesus' purpose was to live as fully man and fully God and to be raised from the dead. He was smeared. He was anointed for the Holy Spirit. For what reason? He was anointed by the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. If you are in Christ, if that's the way that God just sees you through the light of Jesus, Christ, the anointing of the Holy Spirit is in you. And we say, amen. Okay. It means that the Holy Spirit, you are as Christ. The Hebrew version of that is the Messiah. It's the anointed one. You are drenched. You are smeared with the Holy Spirit. You cannot get away from it. If you're in Christ, Christ is in you. And if Christ is in you, you walk in the power and the authority of who is God, who is the Holy Spirit. It is the only way, and that's why Romans 8, 37 to 39 says, if you in Christ, Christ is in you, and this is the life that you live. As a mother, as a father, as a student, as a young adult, as young parents, this is the life that you've been called to. What is the role of the Holy Spirit in being divinely included? This is the role. Listen carefully. This will come in the test if you are a student, so you need to write it down. Romans 8, 37 to 39. Now, if this is true, now if you are in Christ, in Christ is in you, now, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things that come, or things of the present, nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor other created things will be able to separate us from the love of God, listen to this, that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God loves you. He showed his love in Jesus Christ by giving us Jesus, by giving us the bridge, by giving us an out from our darkness. Jesus, God's love for us is in Jesus Christ. If you choose him, Lord, may it be that every person in this room get unctioned by the Holy Spirit to choose Jesus, to choose to get onto that bridge. If you choose him, you are in Christ, which means that God looks at you and you are white as snow. It's finished. You don't. It's legal, Mace. It's legal. It's legal. It's legal. He looks at you and you are pure. And then if you are in Christ, Christ is in you and you are more than a conqueror. God loved you and he gave you his son. God loved you and he gave you his spirit. And there is no demonic power that can keep you from living a life. And I want you, the big picture of the tree, please, if you can put that up. He has given you a space in the world, at university, at school, in your job, in your house, in your family, in South Africa, in the world. He's given you a space to grow more than a conqueror. Not bonsai. This is what the Lord has made you to be. He's given you a space to grow. Why? Because Christ is in you. The power of Christ is in everybody that decided to walk over that bridge into the presence of the Father. This is the life that you have been given to live. No demonic power can stop you. No demonic power. If there is a family curse or a family binding on you, I break it in the name of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. If death is what scares you, you must know that if you're sitting here, your mom is not here because she's passed and she knew Christ and she walked over that bridge, you will see her again in the new heaven and the new earth. If you're sitting here and you say, I'm not going to grow because it's a dangerous world here. I'm just going to be this for Porta Bonsai. I'm going to live in this small little space. I want to say to you, you are living a life in the present future tense. What you do now will reverberate into eternity. What you do now will move into past the grave. Death cannot stop you. This tree grows into eternity. If you are afraid of heights as I am, there's nothing high enough that can keep you from the Father's love. If you are just so scared of the bottom of the ocean, there's nothing deep enough that can keep you from the Father's love. You have been made more than a conqueror. It looks like you don't believe me. That is you. And maybe because, maybe it's so quiet because you go, okay, my man, you don't know my life. You don't know the struggles that I've been through. You don't know my 2024. You don't know my 2025. Maybe you're sitting here and you say, okay, maybe for you, maybe for Paul, not for me. And I want to tell you that on the 25th of December, 2024, that's what my heart felt like. The Grobler family had a bad 2024. Bad. Things happen to us that you see in movies. Things happen to us that you never want to have happened. And I remember I was sitting in church down at the coast. And this preacher was talking about you are significant in God's eyes. That's why he sent his son. And I was sitting there and I'm saying, okay, Lord, if I'm significant, if my wife is significant, if my daughter is significant, if my boy is significant, Lord, where were you in 2024? Where were you? And I went with that pain, and I want to invite you today, if you're sitting here and you say, I'm not more than a conqueror because I'm battling stuff. The grace of God, the Spirit, what's the role of the Spirit? The Spirit took me in my pain, in church, to the only place that you can go to become a conqueror over the pain and the things in this world that happen to you. You can only go to God. What is the role of the Spirit, Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the only one that can drive you through your pain towards the only place where your pain can be nurtured and comforted. And tears started rolling down my eyes, and I freaked my family out because they were saying, okay, what's happening? And I felt the Holy Spirit. What's the role of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit in that pain when I gave it to him, I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, my boy, I'm so proud of you because you've conquered much in 2024. And I said, Lord, what does conquering mean? And he said, conquering is to be able to stand when others would fall. Conquering is the ability to fight the external forces when it comes knocking at your door, knocking at your family's door, knocking at your business's door, knocking at your health, knocking at everything that you hold dear. That is the conquering spirit, to be able to stand and not fall. And then the Lord said, but you are more than a conqueror. I want to invite you into my rest to become more than a conqueror. I want you to know what it feels like to be an overcomer. An overcomer. You see what happens? If you show me that picture just of the tree that was cut off, you know, I say that we are this tree. If you take the next one, please. Something happens and there's a part of us that gets cut off. We lose people. We lose health. We lose opportunity. We lose purity. We lose innocence. We lose things in our lives. And conquering means that the God with grace through the power of the Holy Spirit, where something was cut off, gives you the ability to grow anew, and glory comes out of your pain. What is the role of the Holy Spirit? The role of the Holy Spirit is for glory to come out of your pain. But then what happens is, if those things come and they sit in our beings, then our hearts get hardened. What does overcoming mean? Please show me the next picture. Overcoming allows me, for where my heart has been hardened, for beauty to come from ashes, for life to come from death. After 2024, I started believing this lie. If I walk over the bridge of Jesus' life, I become the number one enemy of the number one enemy. Sounds spiritual? It's a lie. More than a conqueror means I need to overcome that lie. And the only one that could conquer that for me was the Holy Spirit that says, Bosov, if you believe that, you believe the lie. The truth is, you are a reigning king, a son of God. There is no power in this world that can conquer you. You are not the victim. You are not the number one enemy of the number one enemy. Jesus Christ on the cross conquered him, finished in klaar. And I stood up from my knees and I said, thank you, Lord, that I can now walk in the power of being anointed by the Holy Spirit. And over the past month, for the first time since 2024, I'm able to live a life where I can breathe properly. Where I don't wake up at 2 a.m. and worry desperately about my kids. For the first time in the past few months, since the Lord gave me the truth for the lie, my hardened heart just fell away, and Jesus Christ shone through. That is my prayer for each and every one of us today. What is the role of the Holy Spirit in divine inclusion? It's to have your life fill the space that God has given you. Overcoming, not only conquering. And what it takes, and we're going to do that right now, and I want to ask, please, if the worship team wouldn't mind coming up. what we want to do just for a few moments is start a process with you, for you, in time with the Holy Spirit. And we want to invite you to ask one of these two questions. If you put the next slide up, please. What is the lie that has hardened your heart? And this is not a condemning question. This is, you've been through hell and back. And yes, you have overcome. But there is a lie that took root in your heart that the Holy Spirit wants to come and break down today. The Holy Spirit wants to come and show you the truth. The next question is then, Lord, if that's the lie, then what is the truth? And some of us struggle to just go into this process so easily and so quickly. So this might just be the start of the process that you will take into the rest of your week. But my prayer is that you will live with the surname of Christ. Amen.